Our first lesson is from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, happy All Saints Sunday. It's one of those funny days to say a happy day, All Saints Sunday, but it is. Today is the day that we specifically remember those who've gone before us in the faith, those who have died and have heard from God, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Those who have entered eternal rest. Those who have joined the church triumphant And it may be hard to believe are having an even better worship service than you are right now. Even better. To be with Christ is gain. Those who have died in the faith that we know, our loved ones, those who we will get to meet in heaven, our brothers and sisters, who've had faith in God and in His protection, His salvation, throughout history, they have joined in something that we will get to be a part of. How do you put into a picture what heaven looks like? We have a photo up on the screen and in your bulletins that has a bit of an idea. You got John's account from Revelation. You got a lamb on the throne. It's surrounded by angels and a multitude of people from all over, all different nations. It's better than anything I could put together. It was done in the 1400s, so they didn't even use AI. That's not half bad. It's even got a really cool-looking dove with some fire around it that looks kind of similar to the one over to my right, your left. What a beautiful photo. What a beautiful, not photo, of course, painting. Trying to describe what Revelation looks like, the book of Revelation, it would be difficult. Now imagine being John, who's given this vision and this experience, and now put that into words alone. I know a picture is worth 1,000 words. Revelation has got a lot of them, but not multiple pictures worth, I suppose. And yet as you try to look through Revelation and read through it, we get this image, this picture of what it looks like to be in heaven. It's easy to get hung up on some of the imagery language. It's easy to read some things and get confused, and it's easy to blow past other things that have vast theological importance that are amazing to have. In our reading today from Revelation chapter 7, I am tempted to make the same joke, I will, that Pastor Kevin did last week. There's just too much to cover in this 45-minute sermon that I'm about to give. Don't worry, I won't do that. It'll be 32. No. Today, on All Saints Sunday, we celebrate that God has given us this great picture of what our eternity will look like. We will be together, surrounding our Savior Jesus, the Lamb, the King of all things, the Savior who's on His throne. We will be celebrating. We will be without pain, without sadness. No sad face on a stick. Good job. We will be in eternal glory, seeing God face to face, being there without sin, without sadness, with all of our loved ones who have died in the faith, with all of our brothers and sisters shouting glory to God. What a wonderful thing. What a great image. What a great, beautiful picture. And I'm going to focus on just a small portion of it from our reading today. In verses 13 and 14, one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And John, being very clever, says, "I said to him, 'Sir, you know.'" Dodge that question. "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." As I was preparing for today, and I figured, well, I want to focus on these white robes, not just because I get to wear one. Of course, actually, it's really fun doing chapel for our students here throughout the week, and I only get to do them every so often. I don't want to steal all the fun from others who get to do it so well. But I like to explain to them sometimes things that are up in the chancel, things that I might wear. One of the recent chapels, I came dressed up like it was a Sunday. No one looked too confused. But I talk to them about why I wear this white robe and say, well, when I'm up here as pastor, when we have others who serve up here in the chancel area, we wear this stuff that helps show or teach something, like an image, like a picture. What you can see when I'm in this white robe is that I'm here as one of God's people, wearing this white linen robe, a pure white robe, no matter the black shirt that's underneath it. I, Jesse Brubaker, am a sinner. I also am a saint, God calls me. You also are sinners, even if you don't have a cool, fancy black shirt with a little white tab. You also are a saint in God's eyes. He has a white robe picked out for you that's even nicer than this one, too. A white robe that is not just white in color because it looks nice. A robe of righteousness and purity, saying, you are my pure child without sin. When you go to heaven, you will be clothed in his righteousness, in the glory that God has given to you. Well, that sounds kind of amazing, and I figured I would want to spend some time with that, so I did some Greek word studies, and I've heard you like to hear about Greek words too. So don't worry, I'm only using two of them today. I'm not taking 45 minutes, like I said. But interestingly, as I was looking at these white robes and trying to understand more about them, I found that the word used for robe is stolas, which sounds a lot like the word for this thing that I'm wearing around my shoulders. This is called a stole. Pastors wear these stoles that often match the chancel art, the chancel decorations, seasonally appropriate. And these stoles are worn to show that we have the office of the pastor to preach the good news. So that's why I now get to wear a stole and I didn't get to before. So if you want to wear a stole too, talk to me. I'll tell you the right people at the seminary. It's great. But the stolos that's in Revelation is not the same as the one I have around my neck. It's more like the one I'm wearing underneath this white robe. A stolos is very similar to these other robes you might picture from Greek and Roman days. It's the same word used for the ones that the priests would dress themselves in. The Pharisees, when in Jesus' day, they would dress in fine white linen stolas, and they would walk around praying in the streets, looking very regal and very godly, saying, I am a wonderful preacher, a wonderful teacher, a great prayer. Look at how wonderful I am. They had put on a beautiful white stole, if it's singular. They, plural, would have stolas. And as they walked around in their stolas, they would try to take on this righteousness from their own works. I am a pure and holy Pharisee. I am one who is following God's word perfectly. Follow me. I'll show you the way. We know what Jesus said about them. It was not so nice. Compare that then to the same time this robe is used in the Old Testament, the stole that the king of Nineveh wore. The king of Nineveh, who hears from Jonah that he is going, that his whole people are going to be destroyed because of their sinfulness against God's people. Jonah finally is put in a whale and sent off to Nineveh, and he says, okay, well, you guys are all going to be destroyed in a few days. God doesn't like what you've done. So, sorry, you're going to be destroyed. Sorry, not sorry, I don't like you. That's the summary of Jonah there for you. Now, the king of Nineveh hears this. He is wearing a beautiful kingly stole, and he takes it off, putting on sackcloth instead, and he repents. He says he's sorry that I've done this to your people. And Jonah gets to see God be merciful, to which he says, see, this is why I didn't want to tell them. I knew you'd be merciful. How dare you, God? Again, my summary of Jonah. But the king, who because of his earthly office should be wearing this beautiful stole, takes it off and puts on sackcloth because he realizes he has sinned against God. He doesn't want to be destroyed. Quite the opposite. to the Pharisees. This same word is then also used in the story of the prodigal son. You know, the one where the son has gone away and he comes back to the father thinking, well, maybe I can at least be a servant to God. Sorry, I gave it away. Spoiler alert. I can be a servant to my father. And he comes up expecting to possibly be one of the hired workers. And the father says, get him a fine robe. Put it on him. Get him a stole, a clean white one. The son shows up back to the father in the parable, wearing nothing but filthy rags. He's been working with the pigs. He has nothing left to his name. And his father gives him a beautiful white stole, clean, showing that he is a part of the family. He is not just a servant, not just a worker. This is the stole that you get to have. You all are promised this same one. That image that John has in Revelation, that vision of what heaven looks like, has all of us, all believers, surrounding the throne in these beautiful white robes that God has prepared for you. All those who've died in the faith, all those who we mourn that we don't get to be with them anymore, we get to find our joy and peace knowing they're already there with God. You will join them. On the last day, all will be raised. We will all be given our white robes. We get to have a continual time with God in heaven. You will be called his child, not a sinner, not someone who has nothing but filthy rags, but rather the very righteous clothing of God. Now that righteousness, what does that really look like? We already know it's pretty wonderful how great it is to not be people who are trying to put on these stoles ourselves, trying to put on the robe and saying, look how righteous and pure and clean I am. I am so deserving of this beautiful clothing. It's far greater knowing that God is the one who gives it to us. But what does it look like then? We know it's a white stole, a white stola, stole, robe. But that word white is leukos. It's a harder one. Leukos. And it's not just a whiteness. It's more of a bright white, a shining bright white light product. This is not just a white robe that is fine by itself. This has radiance to it, a bright whiteness. This is the same word used for Jesus' face at the Transfiguration. When Jesus is there on the mountain, he's speaking with these two wonderful men of old that somehow the three disciples who are with him recognize, and they see Jesus transfigured. That means his glory is shining out of him. His face is shining with this white brilliance, this light they can't imagine. And Peter's like, I can't look at it anymore. Jesus, can I just put up some tents? We should make a tent for you to stay here. It'll be great. Go in the tent. You're hurting my eyes. Brilliant white light shining out of the transfigured holy Jesus, showing his godliness. It's the same word for the brilliant white stole that the angel has at the tomb, at the resurrection. The angel is there. The women come to check and see, and Jesus is gone. And they say, well, where is he? This angel is there in this brilliant white on that resurrection day, the first Easter day. The white of the holiness of God shining off of him, being God's messenger. It's the same white of the robes at the angels of the robes that the angels are wearing at Jesus' ascension. This bright, brilliant whiteness shining off of God's messengers. If you remember the story, right, you have the apostles are there watching Jesus ascend into the clouds. They're looking up, and they have these two angels show up next to them. Why are you looking into the clouds? He's not there. He's gone to be with in heaven. The apostles are like, okay, hold on. We're watching Jesus. A brilliant whiteness showing up next to them in miraculous design by on angels, no less. And they're just staring at Jesus instead. This brilliant white is associated with the glory of God and his holiness. It shines from Jesus. It shines on his messengers, the angels. It shines out in the darkness even when the angels are there announcing that Jesus is going to be born. The same word, this brilliant white light. An even further, deeper picture of the robe that you will get to wear. God has it planned for you. God says, you are my child. I will make you holy. I will give you this brilliant white robe. Again, I feel sorry for John, who's given this vision, and then one of the elders says, so, who are they? You know. Who are those people? Those people standing there in those white robes, brilliant, shining from afar. I can see them. Thousands surrounding Jesus. Who are they? They're all the faithful, those who have gone through the tribulation of this life. That word tribulation appears in our reading. It's not a specific time period or on Earth's timeline. It's the tribulation of this life, going through a sinful life, going through temptation, pain, suffering, and sadness. For all those who've made it through the tribulation and have faith in Jesus Christ, they are called to heaven to be with their Savior, to be with their God, your Father in heaven. Who are they? Those people clothed in white. They're you. They're me. We are that same group of people. All those who have faith in Jesus. All those who die in the faith. We said near the beginning of our worship service, right before our time of reflection and confession, that Christ calls us to share communion with him and all the saints in earth and heaven at the Lord's table. When we take communion, we do it in community with all of our brothers and sisters who are alive now and have gone before us. Everyone who has had faith in Jesus Christ, who receives his body and blood, we have communion here with them. We have our altar railing here in a nice straight line. A lot of churches do it. It's beautiful. Nothing wrong. I like it. I also really love the imagery that you have at churches where you may have seen this before. Their altar railing is a half circle that connects to the back wall, and you have a cross much like ours there. And the idea of the half circle is that when you come to have communion, you're doing it, yes, with the people at the altar rail that you can see, but those you are connected to in the full circle that you can't see. The cross connects us to all believers. Jesus Christ connects us in one body, one family, to all those who will be clothed in white, clothed in his righteousness. Together, on this All Saints Sunday, we especially remember all those who already get to experience the great goodness of God, his mercy, the righteousness won for them. And we get to look forward to the day when we would join them, when he would call us safely home, when he would clothe you with his righteousness, with a brilliant white robe. What a wonderful and great image that is. Trust in Jesus who gives it to you. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.